Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today we will be talking about a company that is a major manufacturer of household products. That company is Church & Dwight. We will be reviewing the company's key operating segments, analyzing its key ratios, performing a discounted free cash flow DCF analysis to find the intrinsic value of the company, and finally do an expected rate of return calculation to see if you were to invest in this company at the current stock price, what kind of return can we expect on this investment? So let's dive in and review Church & Dwight. Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10-K, which is the annual report that Church & Dwight filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2020, and on page 4 of the report, the company provides a brief overview about the business. It states that it develops, manufactures, and markets a broad range of consumer household and personal care products and specialty products focused on animal and food production, chemicals, and cleaners. The company outlines that majority of its marketing efforts are focused on its 13 power brands, such as Arm & Hammer, Trojan, OxiClean, Spinbrush, First Response, Nair, and so forth. On page 80 of the report, the company outlines its business segments. It states that it operates in three reportable segments: Consumer Domestic, Consumer International, and Specialty Products Division. The Consumer Domestic segment includes household and personal care products. The Consumer International segment primarily includes personal care products, and the Specialty Products Division includes specialty chemical products. On the next page, the company breaks down the sales numbers within each operating segment. The Consumer Domestic segment brought in about $3.7 out of the $4.8 billion for the year 2020. That means that about 77% of the company's total sales comes from its Consumer Domestic segment. Next is the gross profit. The gross profit is net sales minus cost of goods sold. And the profit margin compares the gross profit to the net sales. The Consumer Domestic segment has a profit margin of 48%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in the Consumer Domestic segment, by the time it pays for the cost of goods in that segment, it had $48 left as profit. For the Consumer International segment, the profit margin was at 44.5%, and the SPD segment had a profit margin of 34%. The overall profit margin was at 45.2%. What this means is, holistically, every $100 that the company made in sales, by the time it paid for the cost of goods, it had $45.2 left. And out of those $45.2, the company can then pay off its other expenses, interest on its debt obligations, taxes, dividends, and so forth. On the next page, the company further breaks down the Consumer Domestic segment. It shows how the household products and the personal care products make up the total Consumer Domestic segment. When we compare the household products to that of the total consolidated sales numbers, we can see that about 41% of the company's total consolidated net sales comes from its household products. After that, Church & Dwight provides its geographic information, where they say that 83% of its net sales in the year 2020 came from customers within the United States, and approximately 96% of its long-lived assets are located in the United States as of December 31, 2020. As far as customers go, it says that a group of three customers accounted for approximately 36% of its consolidated net sales in the year 2020, 2019, and 2018. And Walmart accounted for about 23% of its net sales in 2020. Now that we have a brief overview of Church & Dwight's business and its three operating segments, let's review the company's fundamentals by analyzing its key ratios. Hey guys, now let's look at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at Church & Dwight. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company makes from sales. Back in 2011, Church & Dwight had a revenue of about $2.7 billion, and for the year 2020, it was at about $4.9 billion. Church & Dwight's revenue has been increasing every year for the past 10 years. Next, looking at the gross margin. The gross margin gives us an idea of how much money is left over with the company once it has paid for its cost of goods. Over the past 10 years, the company's gross profit has stayed fairly consistent at about 45%, which is good news as it tells us that the company's cost of goods have not gone out of hand and it is proportional to the company's revenue. After that, looking at the operating income. The operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2011, the company's operating income was about $493 million, and for the year 2020, it was at about $1 billion. The company's operating income, similar to its revenue, has been increasing every year for the past 10 years. Next, looking at the operating margin. The operating margin compares the company's operating income to its revenue. Over the past 10 years, the company's operating margin has been fairly consistent. Next, looking at the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes.
Back in 2011, the company's net income was at $310 million, and for the year 2020, it was at $785 million. The company's net income over the past 10 years has always been positive and trending upwards. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2011, Church & Dwight paid about 30 cents per share as dividend, and for the year 2020, it paid about 96 cents per share as dividend. The company has been hiking its dividend every year for the past 10 years. Next, looking at the shares outstanding. Back in 2011, the company had about 292 million shares outstanding. Then it bought back its shares over the next few years as the share count dropped down to about 250 million shares back in 2018. After that, the company appears to have been doing some equity financing as the share count rose up to about 252 million shares. However, when we look at a 10-year window, we can see that the share count dropped down from 292 million shares back in 2011 to about 252 million shares in 2020. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose share count is decreasing. In other words, we want to invest in companies who is buying back its shares, as this process of buybacks actually increases the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Next, looking at the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Back in 2011, Church & Dwight's book value was at $7.33 per share, and for the year 2020, it was at $13.08 per share. The book value per share has been increasing every year since 2017. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2011, Church & Dwight's free cash flow was at $361 million, and for the year 2020, it was about $891 million. We can see that over the past 10 years, the company has always had a positive free cash flow. I will be using the past 10 years of free cash flow for my expected rate of return calculation, and I will be using the 2020 figure of $891 million for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the net income to its revenue. Back in 2011, the company's net margin was about 11.26%, and for the year 2020, it was about 16.05%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in 2020, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $16.05 left as pure profit. Ideally, we want to invest in companies who have a high and consistent net margin. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity compares the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities who have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2011, Church & Dwight had a return on equity of about 16%, and for the year 2020, it was about 27%. Church & Dwight's return on equity every year for the past 10 years has been greater than 8%. Additionally, a return on equity of greater than 15% also means that the company has a moat, that is, it has a competitive advantage. Next, looking at the return on invested capital. The return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2011, the company's return on invested capital was about 14%, and for the year 2020, it was about 17%. Church & Dwight's weighted average cost of capital is about 4%, so anytime the management provides a return that is greater than 4%, it is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income. Benjamin Graham preferred to only invest in securities who had interest coverage of 5 times or greater. Back in 2011, Church & Dwight's interest coverage was at 57 times, and for the year 2020, it was about 17 times. Over the past 10 years, the company's interest coverage has always been greater than 5 times. Now let's look at the financial health of the company, focusing on the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to invest in companies who have a current ratio greater than 1.0, as that means that the company has enough oxygen in its system to survive for another 12 months. Back in 2011, the company's current ratio was at 1.97, and for the latest quarter, it's at 0.80. So what this 0.80 current ratio means is every dollar that the company has in its current liabilities, it only has 80 cents to fulfill those current liabilities. In other words, it has a 20 cent shortfall. Next, looking at the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except it disregards the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by the current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the quick ratio to be greater than 1, as that means that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to stay liquid. Back in 2011, the company's quick ratio was at 1.35, and for the latest quarter, it's at 0.42. Both the quick and current ratio show that the company's liquidity is not the best. It was much better back in 2011 than it is right now. After that, looking at the financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage ratio means that more of the company's assets are financed through liabilities. Back in 2011, the company's financial leverage was at 1.53, and for the year 2020, it's at 2.45. Over the past 10 years, the company's financial leverage has stayed fairly consistent. Finally, looking at the debt-to-equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want this number to be less than 1, as we want the proportion of the company's equity to be greater than its debt. Back in 2011, the company's debt-to-equity ratio was at 0.12, and for the year 2020, it's at 0.60. These four liquidity and financial health ratios are comparable to its competitors such as Procter & Gamble. Next, looking at the efficiency ratios, the first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sales to the day it actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2011, the company's day sales outstanding was about 33 days, and for the year 2020, it's about 28 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing, and that is certainly the case with Church and Dwight. Next, looking at the day's inventory, this number gives an idea of how many days does Church and Dwight's product sit in its inventory. Back in 2011, the company's product sat in its inventory for about 47 days, and for the year 2020, the company's product sat in its inventory for about 62 days. Over the past 10 years, the company's day's inventory has been increasing, and that is not a trend that we want to see. After that, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does Church and Dwight take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2011, the company took about 52 days to pay its suppliers, and for the year 2020, it took about 72 days to pay its suppliers. An increasing payables period is not necessarily bad, because it could mean that the company is able to find other places to invest its money and get a return on it before the due date. For example, if you have to pay someone $100 in 35 days, and you found this opportunity where you can make a 5% return on investment by investing in that for 30 days, then it would make sense for you to invest for 30 days, make it $105, and then pay $100 to your supplier and make that $5 profit. So it's fine if the company's payables period is increasing. However, once it gets past 90 days, that's a caution sign because it could mean that the company is trying to inflate its cash flow from operations number. Finally, looking at the inventory turnover number, this number gives an idea of how many times does the company's inventory go through its system in a calendar year. Back in 2011, the company's inventory went through its system about 7.75 times, and for the year 2020, it went through the system about 5.88 times. We can see that over the past 10 years, the company's inventory turnover has been declining, which is not a trend that we want to see. Now let's compare the company's current valuation to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. Church & Dwight's price-to-earnings is at 25.6, whereas S&P 500 is at 27.9. Next is the price-to-book. Church & Dwight's price-to-book is at 6.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.0. After that, price-to-sales. Church & Dwight is at 4.1, whereas S&P 500 is at 2.9. Next is price to cash flow. Church & Dwight is at 20.4, whereas S&P 500 is at 16.3. And finally, the dividend yield. Church & Dwight has a dividend yield of 1.2%, whereas S&P 500 has a dividend yield of 1.6%. We can see that on all these valuation metrics, other than the price to earnings ratio, Church & Dwight is overvalued when compared to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis for Church & Dwight. Over here, I pasted the 2020 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which is at $891 million. I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 6%. What this means is I expect Church & Dwight's free cash flow to grow at 6% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I expect this investment to give me a 10% return. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 4%. What this means is from the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 4%. The company has 252 million shares outstanding and has $1.813 billion in its long-term debt. I got this number from the company's balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the intrinsic value per share to be about $62.59. When we compare this to the current stock price of about $80 per share, we can see that the current stock price is trading about 28% above the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $7.3 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be from the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $17.5 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $62.59. If we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if we think that Church and Dwight's free cash flow will only grow for the next 10 years and then that growth will just stop, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity component to be about $21 per share. If we disregard both the debt and the perpetuity, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt and perpetuity to be about $29 per share. Finally, if we decrease the company's discount rate to 8%, in other words, if you're fine with getting an 8% return on our investment, then we get the intrinsic value to be about $100 per share, which when we compare to the current stock price of $80 per share, would mean that the current stock is trading about 20% below its intrinsic value. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation for Church and Dwight. Over here, I pasted the past 10 years of free cash flows that I got from Morningstar. All the numbers here are in millions of US dollars. This is the yearly free cash flow trend that we get over the years. We can see that the free cash flow has always been positive and increasing. Next, looking at the future data and predictions, I'm assuming that there's a 35% likelihood that the company's free cash flow will grow at 10%. There's a 50% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 6%, and a 15% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 2%. These are the potential free cash flow rates that we get into the future. After taking into account the numbers of shares outstanding, which is 252 million shares, at the current stock price of about $80 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 4.9%. What this means is, if you were to purchase a share of Church and Dwight at the current stock price of about $80 per share and hold it through 2045, then we can expect to get a return of about 4.9% on that investment. Hey guys, now let's wrap it all up. We reviewed Church and Dwight's three operating segments. We saw how the consumer domestic segment brought in the lion's share of the company's total sales. Their revenue, operating income, as well as net income for the past 10 years has been increasing. Church and Dwight has been hiking its dividend every year for the past 10 years. Its return on equity has been greater than 8%. In fact, it has been greater than 15%, which indicates that the company has competitive advantage. The company's return on invested capital has been greater than its weighted average cost of capital, which shows that the management is creating value for its shareholders. After that, when we looked at the company's liquidity ratios, such as its current and quick ratio, those numbers on an absolute basis were subpar. However, when we compared it to its competitor, those numbers were comparable. The financial and debt to equity ratio over the past 10 years has been fairly stable and comparable to its competitors. Next, when we looked at the company's efficiency ratios, we saw that the company is getting less efficient with managing its inventory. After that, we compared Church and Dwight to the S&P 500 and found that on 4 of the 5 valuation metrics, Church and Dwight is overvalued to the S&P 500. When we performed the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis using a 10% discount rate, we found the intrinsic value to be about $62.6 per share. And when we used the 8% discount rate, the intrinsic value came out to about $100 per share, which would indicate that the current stock is about 20% below its intrinsic value. After that, when we performed the expected rate of return calculation, we found out that if we were to invest in Church and Dwight at the current stock price of about $80 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 5% on this investment. In short, Church and Dwight is a defensive company with strong fundamentals. It is in the consumer goods industry and is a conservative long-term investment, which is likely to withstand any near-term market volatility. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Church and Dwight interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions as to which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I will greatly appreciate it. Thank you.